Well, good evening, Holden Village. My name is Melinda, and I serve here as a member of the community and as pastor, and I welcome you to our Eucharist service this week. We will be singing Unfailing Light, and that was found on the stands on your way in, so hopefully you grabbed one. You also need your red hymn book. And so this is a perfect time to move about the cabin if you need either of those things, which, Emily, if you could grab me a red hymn book, I forgot to get one. So the service moves along pretty much as written. We will be doing a sung version of prayers, which will be found towards the back of your worship booklets, but we'll let you know what page that is. Mostly, I just want you to feel comfortable in worship. There will be times when you're invited to sing, to stand, to sit quietly, to pray. Please do so as you feel most meaningful for you. I find at this time of day we're exhausted, especially after travel. Feel free to stay seated for the service, or if you've got a child sleeping on your lap, feel free to just let them be. And if you need communion brought to you, please let us know. Our desire is that there be no barriers between this feast that Jesus offers. So if it just makes sense because of tired legs or a sleeping child or whatever it is that you need, please just let an usher know, and we'll come and find you. With that, this is holy time. At the end of each day with Holden Village, we get to gather together in community and to look into one another's faces and to be present to each other. I pray that we honor this time with a sense of wonder. Amen.
I invite you to rise and begin with Unfailing Light.
O servants of God, let us sing our praise. We bless your holy name, O God, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Bless your holy name, O God. You lift up the weak and hungry. We bless your holy name, O God. And your glory.
grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All loving and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
A reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Therefore, as you all have received him, live in Jesus Christ the Lord. Root and build yourselves up in him, confirming your trust as you were taught in abundant gratitude. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty treachery according to the traditions of humans and the conventional elements, rather than according to Christ. For in him dwells the entire fullness of the divine body, and you are all made full in him, the one who is the head of all rulers and authorities. And also in him you were circumcised with a circumcision not of hands, but by taking off the fleshy body through the circumcision of Christ. You all were buried together with him in baptism and were raised through trust in the workings of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Christ, forgiving all your transgressions, wiping out the words and the decree against us by taking it away from our midst and nailing it to the cross. God, having disarmed the rulers and authorities, exposed them in public, triumphing over them. Therefore, let no one judge you in respect to food and drink, festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are but a shadow of the things to come compared to the body of Christ. Let no one judge you, wanting to lower yourselves and worship the angels, dwelling on visions puffed up by their slippery minds, and not holding to the head out of which the whole body, supported and brought together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks. You all digested that, right? That's what I'm preaching on tonight. I hope you're paying attention. We'll go over it again. I invite you to please stand for the Holy Gospel as we sing together the Gospel Acclamation. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Let your dominion come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to a time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set out.' And the friend answers from within,
'Do it!'"
Oh, that was loud, sorry. Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though the friend will not get up and provide anything because of the friendship, at least because of the neighbor's persistence, the friend will get up and provide whatever is needed. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if a child asks for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This is the Holy Gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So I made the grand mistake of telling someone this past week that I don't much care for the book of Colossians. You know how you're told never to pray for patience because then something will happen horrific that will force you to be patient? Well, I sat down to study today's text for service tonight and suddenly realized in reading the different readings, it was the words of the letter to the Colossians that resonated most deeply with me. So here we go. Now let me first start by saying that I am going to be talking less about Colossians this evening and more about how we read Scripture in general. Meaning that if you believe that Scripture is the literal Word of God, that every word chosen, every punctuation notated, and every teaching laid out in it is exactly as God intended, you're going to have some trouble with what I'm about to say. But also, to the other extreme, if you have decided that Scripture is just a bunch of human reflection on experiences of God that happened thousands of years ago, and especially when it comes to the most destructive stuff, you know, like in the third chapter of Colossians, why I don't like the book so much, it says that wives are supposed to be subject to their husbands, and slaves are supposed to be subject to their masters. You know, the stuff that makes your blood boil and your stomach turn. If you think that you can just chuck the whole letter of Colossians like I wanted to, or chuck the whole book of Scripture and say it is not of God, then you're going to have some trouble with the things that I'm talking about tonight. While I do not believe that the whole of Scripture is exactly as God had intended, I do, in fact, believe that the whole of Scripture holds God's truth. In ways that are worth wrestling with, in ways that are worth fighting for. Believing that Scripture, when prayed with, when played with, when fought with, when wrestled with, when debated, we actually allow it to be a living word, does in fact begin to have a conversation with us. And that the good news that God intends does begin to be birthed among us again and again and again. So let's jump in, shall we? In our reading of Colossians, did you hear Sharon say it over and over again? The writer is using a common illustration of the day, circumcision. Yes, we're going to talk about circumcision tonight. Jesus makes circumcision, the heartbeat of this discussion. So Jewish males circumcised, right? Whether they are born into the faith and it happens on the eighth day after their birth, or if they are a later in life convert, circumcision actually happens as an adult. Either way, it is an act of faith, a testament to the new life that they adhere to. And this is what the writer of Colossians is lifting up as a common example that people would understand. So then when the writer of this letter starts talking about the fullness of life that we have in Christ, speaking to a Jewish audience, he goes to an experience they know intimately, circumcision. He says, "You all are made full in Christ." And also in him you were circumcised with the circumcision not of hands, but by taking off the fleshy body through the circumcision of Christ. Okay, so bathing practices were different when this was written. Okay? In that time and place, bathing practices were different from what we have now, and if not cleansed properly, the additional foreskin could cause infection, pain, and disease. So the author uses it as a metaphor for sin. And we all live with sin. So then the author says, you all were buried together with Christ in baptism. Now, I'm confused. I thought he was talking about circumcision, and now he's starting to talk about baptism. Hold on. Again, another explanation. When we talk about baptism, we're also talking about a cleansing, a separation from that which infects and causes pain. Baptism washes us, separates us from our transgressions. And the promise is actually that baptism puts our dumb mistakes to death. You might have heard Sharon say, and nails them to the cross. So now we're talking about crucifixion? I'm so confused. The promise is that baptism nails our dumb mistakes, the sin, our transgressions, to the cross. So basically, I don't know if you know this as Christians, but we believe that baptism, the dying and going underwater, is actually like death, and the coming up out of the water is actually like resurrection, rising to new life. Cool, huh? Don't try and explain that at a children's sermon. I did it once and it fell flat. Death and resurrection, baptism and new life, circumcision and new life. The language is bizarre to us now, but I believe it was really making sense, and this letter was hitting home with its audience. The writer of this letter goes on to say, when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Christ, forgiving all your transgressions. I believe what the writer of Colossians is doing is trying to take these two very different communities and hold them together as one. Those who believe that circumcision is the answer, and those who are striving to follow Christ and wondering if they're doing it right. Have you ever stood in between two people that you know and love that just seem to be speaking different languages, and you're like the go-between? No, but they're trying to say this. Okay, I know you heard that, but they're trying to say this. I believe that's what this letter writer is doing. And now here I am standing between this conversation 2,000 years ago and all of you. And frankly, part of me just wants to sit down and give up. Because really, is it worth it? I mean, this is unbelievably difficult. It's exhausting. But here's the thing. If any of you have done the painful work of restoring a relationship that has been broken, you know that it's worth it. Root yourself, Colossians says. Trust this inkling of a relationship that you hope exists, that in the past you have learned to believe exists. Colossians says, see that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty treachery. Basically, don't let anybody fool you into believing that this precious relationship doesn't exist, because it does. Now, I have to say, I always thought that the philosophy and foolish treachery was people, you know, outside the Christian circle. And I needed to stay inside my Christian bubble to be safe. And the philosophy and the foolishness was out there. Beware of them. But as I read this text and I've spent a lot of time with it, I'm pretty convinced that's not what this means. See that no one takes you captive because you are already whole. Through Christ, this text is telling us. In him you were circumcised with a circumcision not of hands, but by taking off the fleshy body through the circumcision of Christ. It's weird language, I get it. But the point is, by dumping all of this human striving and living into the freedom of Christ. That's the invitation. They were wrestling with, we knew that Christianity was a movement within Judaism. Do we have to live into all those laws in order to be perfect followers of Christ? No. In Christ, you have life. Don't let them hold you captive in religious practices that aren't necessary for you to have life. I've come to believe that the philosophy and the empty treachery that is so deceiving, this stuff that the writer is worried is going to hold us captive, keep us bound, I fear it's actually the church, or at least the slippery, puffed up human ways that we have come to shape church. But what the writer of this letter is saying is if you are living into the freedom of life that Jesus has shown you, don't let people judge you for living free. The text says, in respect to food and drink and festivals and Sabbaths, don't let people judge you according to the human trappings of religious practice. But instead, trust in this new body of life that we are becoming together. And then it uses this great gritty language of joints and ligaments. We are not separate from one another. None of us are left out. Different as we may be, we are one body connected to each other with this sinewy stuff. And yeah, it's hard work. And yeah, our relationships with one another have been broken. And I would argue even our relationship with Scripture, the living word, has been broken. Scripture has been used to hurt us, has it not? Scripture has caused pain and suffering in the world. But because it is a living word, we get to hold Scripture accountable, and we get to push back. We do this in human relationships, right? We've all had friends and family who have let us down. All of us being messy and in process. None of us are perfect. Now, we could just walk away from the imperfections in each other that hurt us. And I do know that maybe there are times when walking away from one who has hurt us is right and good. But I believe that we often walk away too soon. What if we were to choose to trust? And trusting another person that we love means pushing through the ways that we've been hurt. To hold that loved one that has caused us pain with respect means banking on hopefulness and not walking away. To take the risk of speaking our truth to them, to call a stop to hurting ways, and to help another hear and understand how their words and their actions have fallen on us. And then invite them to a new way. Invite us to a new way, a new shared language and way of being that is life-giving for both and all. This is what I think wrestling with Scripture is about. Because more and more, I don't think it's God that we're battling with when we wrestle with Scripture. It's ages of beautiful wisdom that's been encased in a language that no longer fits. But the language can be shaped and healed. Relationships can be made new. For how else can we have hope for our planet and its people? Now, I can't ignore the gospel totally. And in our gospel text tonight from Luke, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Our gospel text tonight encourages us to ask for what we need. Asking for life in the midst of difficulty in our relationships and nation and world, even when it seems hopeless to do so. But Jesus encourages us, pray, not in fancy religious terms. Who cares what words you use? Just pray, communicate, ask, Scripture tells us. Search, knock, and the door will be opened. What if we didn't just sit down? What if we didn't just walk away and throw up our hands and say it's too difficult? What if we prayed, oh, eternal Spirit, come with vision. Come with the strength that we need. Help us to trust in God and in one another. You're invited to turn to hymn number 402 in your red hymn books. You're invited to turn to page 21 in your Unfailing Light booklets as we sing together our prayers this night. Watch, O Lord.
Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Guard your angels and saints. Charge over all who sleep. Tend your ailing ones in your love, Lord. Rest your weary ones in your love, Lord. Bless your dying ones. Watch, O Lord, with all those who soothe your suffering ones. Heal afflicted ones. Shield your joyous ones in your love, O Lord. Watch, O Lord, with all those who hold your grieving ones, raise your fallen ones, mend your broken ones, watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night, watch, O Lord. Your little ones, guide your searching ones, grant us all your peace.
For what else do we pray? Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you all. Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. All right, we continue to worship with our tithes and offerings. Again, I know that we tend not to carry money with us in Holden Village. Know that that's okay, and there's weird stuff coming out of the fan. Know that that it's just fine if you have offering and you just forgot to bring it with you tonight. You can get it to me or to our accountant, David, who's on the piano. And 100% of it, again, goes to Las Americas, which is offering legal aid to folks who are going through our broken immigration system, specifically on the border between Texas and Mexico. So. Our service continues as we sing for the gathering of the gifts. It is found on page 9 in your booklets. I choose you're able to please stand. And let us pray. We bless you, O God, gracious and merciful. You bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast on your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good, everywhere and always, to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who on this day broke the bonds of death, and by his glorious resurrection, opened for us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness through the waters, across the wilderness, by night and day, out of exile and into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now.
We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Gift of your spirit in our gathering upon this bread within this cup among your people and throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, for your mercy through Jesus Christ, by your spirit in your church and without end. Gathered around the table by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Creator in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever. This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to come and partake of this meal. You may be seated, and I'll tell you just a little bit more about how we do this at Holden Village. There are no ushers, actually, so you just kind of find your way forward. Sometimes it works better if you're towards the front. You kind of come towards the first half and then the back, and it just helps with traffic flow. Everybody will be moving through these two aisles, and then the first people you will come upon, you either head back this direction, will be a gluten-free wafer, and then there will be bread, and a piece will be broken off for you. If you wish, you can dip it in the chalice, or you can drink directly from the chalice of wine. Otherwise, there are cups, and you can have wine poured for you, and the cups or grape juice will be poured for you. So the first pitcher you come to is wine, the second one is grape juice. And then finally, on this end, there are baskets where you can place your empty cup. Please know that all are welcome to this table, and even if you're not sure about communion, it's not something you've done before, but you want to come forward and receive a blessing, just let us know that you, by coming up with your arms crossed like this, and we'll know to give you a blessing. And children commune at all ages, so if young people are communing, make sure they lift their hands up nice and high so that we know to share with them the bread. All has been prepared, and you are invited to come.
We sing together hymn 494, 494 in your red hymnal, 494.
Thank you.
Hymn 471. Hymn 502.
Thank you.
742.
And now may the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We turn to page 16, and I invite you to please stand as we sing our closing hymn. Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus in all whom you call us to love and serve. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy until at last with all your saints we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen. Holy God, blessed Trinity, strengthen your faith, increase your hope, deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always. Go in peace, rest in God, rise to serve. Thanks be to God.